KPBS On Demand is supported by Rancho La Puerta, recently voted a top wellness resort and spa by readers of Travel and Leisure magazine, provides 3, 4, and 7-night summer vacations for anyone who enjoys hiking, mindfulness, and fitness classes on 4,000 acres of nature preserve, rancholapuerta.com.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Thursday, April 11th. More on the state auditor's report on San Diego's homelessness spending. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. A Navy chief on trial in San Diego is facing life in prison for allegedly passing national security secrets to an agent of a foreign government. Prosecutors say Chief Fire Controlman Bryce Petticini was in debt and had a negative bank account balance when he met a woman on Facebook who claimed to be a researcher from Japan. She offered to pay the chief for information, and he accepted. Military reporter Andrew Dyer was at the court-martial yesterday.
Petticini allegedly began being paid for information on Navy tactics and capabilities. When he transferred to a guided missile destroyer in Japan, he was offered even more money if he'd turn over classified documents. When he attempted to do so, he was arrested. He pleaded guilty Wednesday to bringing his cell phone into a classified workspace. He denies the other charges against him.
The court-martial is scheduled to run through next week at Naval Base San Diego. San Diego is one of 9 cities chosen to participate in a program with national experts, providing guidance on how to meet the city's early learning and child care objectives. The program is led by the National League of Cities and will work with San Diego's Office of Child and Youth Success. The executive director of the office says it will give the city the opportunity to expand access to resources and high-quality programs for children and families. It's going to be another hot day across most parts of the county today, but the heat won't last long. The National Weather Service says it's expected to cool down tomorrow with a chance of light rain over the weekend. But before that, let's enjoy the sunny spring day with temperatures in the low 80s in the inland areas. In the mountains, temps will be in the mid-70s. In the deserts, it will be in the mid-90s. And by the coast, temps will be in the high 60s. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated for 3 generations, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com. Because we know how.
The California State Auditor this week released a deep dive report on San Diego's homelessness spending. Metro reporter Angie Bowen says it puts homeless service providers under the microscope.
Homelessness has gone up in San Diego in recent years, and the auditor acknowledges the main reason is the lack of affordable housing. But affordable housing wasn't the focus of the auditor's report. Instead, it looks at the city's programs to manage the homelessness crisis. The big conclusion, San Diego should centralize in one annual report all the spending it does on homelessness relief programs so it can better track their effectiveness. Hanan Scrapper is the regional director for People Assisting the Homeless, or PATH. The nonprofit operates the city's coordinated street outreach program. The goal is to get people ready for placement in permanent housing as soon as it's available, and just to help them survive.
Our outreach teams have water and food and blankets and clothing and first aid kits on them so that as you're encountering people, you're able to really start with building trust by meeting their basic human needs.
Scrapper says building trust isn't something that's easy to quantify. PATH does collect and report data on how many people it reaches and how often they're referred to shelter, medical care, or housing. But the lack of housing is the real reason why more people aren't getting off the streets. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
A federal judge in San Diego has banned the use of excited delirium. In an upcoming police misconduct trial, the medical theory has been disproven as an explanation of when someone dies in custody. State lawmakers recently made it illegal to use the term as a cause of death in California. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki joined Morning Edition host Deb Welsh to discuss the decision.
Let's start with excited delirium, Corey. What is this medical theory, and why is it now banned as a cause of death in the state of California?
Well, Deb, excited delirium has a long history in California and in the United States nationally. Police, paramedics, coroners, and medical examiners often use it to describe a person who becomes agitated and then dies suddenly while police are holding them, police or other first responders. And that's especially used when people are experiencing mental health issues or using drugs. But critics of this theory have long argued that it really has no consistent definition and is not grounded in any scientific evidence. And that's led major medical groups like the American Medical Association to publicly disavow the term in recent years. Last year, that also led California lawmakers to ban excited delirium from many official proceedings in October, making it illegal for police to use it in their reports and for coroners and medical examiners to use it on death certificates.
And so why is this coming back up in San Diego?
Well, it's coming up because excited delirium was potentially going to be a key part of a lawsuit that's been going on for the last 4 years. That suit was filed by the family of Oral Nunes. Oral Nunes was a Northern California business owner, originally from Jamaica, and ran a trucking operation in the Central Valley near Stockton. In March 2020, Nunes was in town in the San Diego area to visit his daughter in Chula Vista. Nunes and his daughter and her boyfriend were at his daughter's apartment on the evening of March 13th, and that was when Nunes started experiencing what his daughter describes as a mental health crisis. Now, Nunes's family and the Chula Vista Police Department tell different stories of what happened next. What happened was Nunes's daughter called 911 for help. She felt like Nunes needed medical attention or some kind of mental health treatment. Officers arrived, Nunes's family and the police department both say that they tried to handcuff Nunes. Multiple officers used their weight to force him against the ground. They wrapped his arms and legs with an additional restraining device and covered his head with a mesh hood. Paramedics then took Nunes to an ambulance, but minutes later they told police that he had stopped breathing. Nunes was driven to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead later that night. And when the San Diego County Medical Examiner's Office performed an autopsy, the Medical Examiner's Office couldn't tell definitively why Nunes had died, but they said that excited delirium was the likely reason, according to a copy of the autopsy that was filed in court. The San Diego District Attorney, Summer Steffen, also launched an investigation into Nunes' death, but in November 2021, she announced her office would not be charging the officers involved and cited the medical examiner's diagnosis. But Nunes' family, his daughter and his wife, they didn't agree with the police version of events. And so in late 2020, both of them, Kimon Nunes, his daughter, and Roxy Nunes, Nunes' wife, both filed wrongful death lawsuits against the city of Chula Vista. And now the city of Chula Vista is set to defend itself when those cases go to trial together next week in federal court.
And how will the excited delirium theory fit into all of this? It seems like it played a key role in how police handled Nunes' death in custody. But as you've told us, it's lost a lot of credibility since then.
Yeah, that's a key question I think a lot of people have had their eye on. In San Diego, the national shift around excited delirium also seems to be potentially reshaping the course of Nunes' family members' lawsuits against the city of Chula Vista. That's because attorneys for Nunes' family have argued that Chula Vista's legal team was likely to bring up this diagnosis, this disproven diagnosis, as a defense, despite it being discredited by leading medical organizations. And those attorneys argued that that could draw the trial off course from its central focus of whether or not Chula Vista police used excessive force and violated Nunes' constitutional rights. And so that means that as the trial begins, none of the attorneys in this case will be able to use any mentions of excited delirium.
I've been speaking with KPBS South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki. Corey, thanks much.
Thank you so much, Deb.
Dozens of high school students across San Diego are hard at work in a national competition to find solutions to some of society's biggest problems. Education reporter MG Perez has the latest on the Aspen Challenge.
150 high school students from 19 campuses across the San Diego Unified School District are midway through the projects they hope will find immigration solutions, answers to homelessness, and more support for mental health. It's called the Aspen Challenge. An 8-member team from Mission Bay High School has been working since late February on strategies using various mediums of art to lower stress in children. They hosted a mental health fair this week featuring poetry, origami, and vision boards. Nathan Sheehy is their English teacher and advisor.
They're go-getters, and it's helping them beyond school. I mean, they're learning skills that are going to be more useful to them in the real world than maybe book learning.
All the competing teams will deliver their presentations May 1st. MG Perez, KPBS News.
San Diego's Arab Film Festival is here and filled with stories created from around the world. Reporter Jacob Ayer says this year, many of the films have a special focus on the conflict in Gaza.
Held at the Museum of Photographic Arts in Balboa Park, the 13th annual San Diego Arab Film Festival starts April 12th and runs through the 21st.
So it's a science fiction documentary which I co-directed with an American filmmaker, New York-based Sarah Friedland.
Rami Yunus is the co-director of LID, the closing night feature film at the festival. He spoke to KPBS from where he lives, Haifa, Israel, and said work for this project began back in 2016.
We wanted to tell the story of my hometown of Lid, which is a city that was occupied in 1948. It used to be the city that connected Palestine to the world because it had an international airport. Trains would depart from there to Lebanon, to Cairo, back when the borders were open.
Lid is one of many films that will be featured at this year's festival. There will be 8 screenings in all, each showcasing one feature film and one short film from across the Arab world. Several films at this year's festival revolve around ongoing conflict.
We are stepping more into representing Palestinian filmmaking because of what's happening in Gaza and in the West Bank and in Jerusalem.
Basima Darwish is a local San Diegan and festival organizer. She's also originally from Palestine herself. Darwish says the festival has grown and changed over the years, and the films are about much more than struggle.
The artists are exploring more creatively and just stepping out of telling the story of trauma and occupation.
Larry Christian is president of Karama, a nonprofit organization that focuses on issues of the Arab and Islamic world. They put on the festival.
We want to provide a focal point for the community to show itself and be proud of itself.
Christian says outside of Palestine, this year's festival features films from countries including Syria, Tunisia, Morocco, and Lebanon.
Film also is a way to show people realistic depictions of Arab people and culture in a way that, you know, printed pages and other things don't do.
Darwish says some of this year's films are relatable to her own experience growing up, something not commonly seen in U.S. cinema.
My mom told me stories often about this beautiful place called Palestine, and that was what explained my name and our food and the smell in our home and the sound of the Quran on Fridays.
She says the films help to share Arab identity, defy stereotypes, and provide a voice for the marginalized.
It's really important to see yourself represented on screen, in society, as culturally relevant. And for me, as an Arab female, it's been a beautiful experience to both view the films on screen at the Museum of Photographic Arts and also to be part of making that happen.
Yunus says his film depicts multiple pasts, presents, and futures of the modern-day Israeli city now known as Lod.
In our film, there are Jews, Christians, and Muslims living in one place without the occupation. It's not a utopia, but it is also not an occupied, unjust place.
He says even getting the film made was challenging due to the ongoing conflict. Yunus hopes the sci-fi documentary makes people reflect.
No one can take away your imagination. That's one thing that can be occupied, you know? And if you don't imagine, you're doomed to live the reality that was created in someone else's imagination.
Tickets are on sale now online or at the door if they're not yet sold out. And Arabic dinners will be available each evening. More information can be found at sandiegoaff.org. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. In tomorrow's podcast, the mayor of Chula Vista joins me to talk about this weekend's South Bay Earth Day event and more. Join us tomorrow for that, plus today's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Thursday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego, offering visitors to the La Jolla campus special exhibitions, collection galleries, coastal vistas, seaside dining, and more. MCASD.org.